This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Eating this huge, eating this huge peanut butter cup. This thing is delicious. Ooh. All right, I'll make it through this segment. Coming up, the big news of the day, Oklahoma and Texas. Potentially on their way to the SEC. Hey, the Morrow Midday Show. Let me try to say that again. You know, I've always noticed, I don't know if it's the way I talk, I can kind of slur my words, I can never say my name properly. The Morrow Midday Show. I just say whatever comes out. The Morrow Midday Show. It's a tongue twister. It's brought to you by Baker Roofing. Baker Roofing has been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. They provide residential and commercial roofing. And in 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history there or see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work. Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. I'm from Connecticut originally, and one time I was at, I think it was here in South Carolina. I think it was at USC Upstate. I was there to broadcast a game. And I was talking to somebody, and he just randomly asked me, he said, "Are you from Connecticut?" And I said, "Yeah." "How'd you know?" And he said, "From your accent." I said, "Accent? I never thought Connecticut had an accent." But people say that, or my buddies and I growing up, we would always say the Connecticut accent was kind of slurring your words, not finishing words. And I think I'm never more guilty than when saying my own name. The Morrow, I have to make sure I enunciate. The Morrow Midday Show. Appreciate you hanging with us. By the way, I do want to tell you, as we get ready for the college football season coming up, that with college football right around the corner, ESPN Radio Charleston wants to kick off the season with a good old-fashioned golf tournament. So come out and represent your college team with your foursome at Stono Ferry. Winning foursomes score tickets to the homecoming game of their favorite college team, courtesy of ESPN Radio Charleston. It's going on August 19th. It's a Thursday. August 19th, right before the start of the season, the following Thursday is when we have football going on. August 19th, a Thursday at the Lynx at Stono Ferry, the kickoff to college football tournament. And what's great about this is you pick your team that you're representing, and you can have we could have multiple foursomes for Clemson, South Carolina, whatever. Any team in the country, whatever. You're a fan of Hawaii, bring out your buddies and come play for Hawaii, whoever you root for. You come out, you rep that team, you come play some golf, lunch, breakfast, provided, play at the Lynx at Stono Ferry, and if your foursome wins, you'll get a bunch of great stuff. You'll get some team swag for your favorite team. You'll get a framed photo of your team's stadium to hang in the office, and you'll also get tickets to go to the homecoming game. No matter where it is, we're sending you to your favorite team's homecoming game. Doesn't matter if it's the other USC or it's Washington or it's Minnesota or it's the aforementioned Rutgers, whoever, you'll get tickets to the homecoming game. You just have to win the golf tournament. $300 per foursome. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com to register today and pick which team you'll be playing for. charlestonsportsradio.com. This is not just a Clemson, South Carolina thing. We have that golf tournament at Thanksgiving. This isn't even just a state of South Carolina thing, right, where it's just like Citadel, Wofford, South Carolina, Clemson. Any team, you're a Georgia fan, come on out. Alabama fan, UNC, something from the other side of the country. You're a Wyoming fan, whoever, come represent at the kickoff to college football golf tournament at the Lynx at Stono Ferry, Thursday, August 19th. I believe we'll be out there, and that's what I'm looking forward to see how many fans we have. We came across, I saw a West Virginia group of West Virginia fans here in the Lowcountry, and they have a large group. I didn't realize there were so many West Virginia fans, Mountaineer fans here in the Lowcountry. But they were talking about this. They want to go out there and represent West Virginia. That's what I'm curious to see. How many different teams will we get? Because whenever I talk to people from the area that listen to the show or whatever, I just meet along the way, really the majority of them are not from the Lowcountry originally. So we got fans from all over, professionally and with the colleges, of course. Or maybe you are from the area, but you went to college somewhere, now you're back here, you root for that college.
Here's a challenge for you.
Uh-huh.
Try to find somebody from here nowadays.
It's true. We got a couple here in the building. But yes, I know, so many transplants. I mean, I'm one of them, so. That's why I talk to people. They always say, I appreciate you talk a little bit about everything. Right? Because they're not a Gamecock fan. They're a fan of whatever. So try to appeal to as many people as you can. But I'm curious to see how many different teams we could have represented. Because let me mention this again. If there was ever a drinking game for the Morrow Midday Show, one of the things would be anytime I reference that I'm a Red Sox fan. Another time would be anytime I reference I'm Italian. Whenever I reference that I'm from Connecticut, these are things that if you took a shot every time I referenced, right, you wouldn't be able to return to work for the afternoon. But growing up in Connecticut, since we don't have any professional teams, you could really pick whoever you want. Now, most people are fans of New York or Boston teams. But I have friends that are all over the map. I got one of my best friends is a Toronto Raptors fan, grew up in Connecticut. Another one is a Chicago Bulls fan. We got a Broncos fan in the NFL. We got a Dolphins fan. We got a Titans fan, all over the place. A Seattle Mariners fan, Sacramento Kings, all over the place. Because you could just pick whatever team you wanted. People would jump on the bandwagon. You didn't have any team that you grew up rooting for. There's no teams. And here in South Carolina, maybe it's the same idea. I don't get that sense as much. Right? It does seem like baseball, it's mostly Braves fans. Football does seem like Falcons and Panthers. I mean, we do have a lot of, based off of the studies, Steelers, Packer fans, although they're everywhere. Basketball, yeah, I don't know, maybe Hornets, Hawks. But in Connecticut, you could pick any team. So my whole point being, you'd go out to a sports bar, right? You're seeing people from all over, rooting for all different teams. And I always like seeing that, like, okay, we got a Titans fan over there. And, oh, there's a Bengals fan over there. So that's what I'm looking forward to for the kickoff to college football golf tournament on August 19th. I want to show up and see all the different teams. Like, oh, NC State. Okay, Louisville. Oh, we got Vanderbilt over there. I want to see all these different teams represented. There are only so many foursomes, but I would love to see a different school for every foursome and see how many different fans we have in the area for all these different schools. Anyways, the link's at Stono Ferry, August 19th. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com to register today for our kickoff to college football golf tournament. And if you win, we'll send you to the homecoming game. I mean, you can't beat that. Speaking of college football, the big story yesterday was this bombshell, this report of Texas and Oklahoma looking to join the SEC. Now, if I were to take you behind the curtain in this industry, in this job, right, you have to make sure you come up with topics for the day, and you have to try to be creative and interesting. You can't just rely on what happened the night before. You can't just rip off the front page of the paper and say, oh, here we go. Okay, we had this game last night and this game, and here's what happened in this game. You can't just read scores. You're not the score update. And parts of the year, it can be tougher to come up with some things to discuss. But as we get closer to college football season, let me be honest with you. In this industry, oh, your job is never easier than football season because of things like this. You want to know that college football is close? Because we're getting all these stories this week of stuff like this. Oklahoma and Texas potentially joining the SEC. Now let's break this down. As I said to begin the show this afternoon, this would be a win for Texas and Oklahoma. I think it would make it tougher for them on the football field. But financially, branding, being part of the SEC, everything else would be a win. If you were to do a list of pros and cons, the only con would be, well, now we're in the best conference of football. You can maybe say recruiting. Right, a lot of schools will see that it hurts their recruiting when they go into a conference that's far away. In fact, let me reference UConn again. UConn wanted to get out of the AAC because they're traveling all over the place. It wasn't good for recruiting. They're playing in Texas. They're playing in against Wichita State. They're nowhere in the Northeast, and that's still their recruiting hub. And so it didn't help that, you know, your parents can never see you play. They couldn't travel to the road games. Or you playing in Texas, you're trying to recruit kids there. Like, hey, come watch us play SMU tomorrow, and they're like, yeah, we don't want to go up to Connecticut. Right? We're from Texas. We don't want to go all the way over there. So UConn, when they had the chance, they went back to the Big East. They believe it's going to help in recruiting. Right? They're more local, more in the Northeast. They play in all those cities that they recruit. Families can travel to the road games. That's appealing to a kid. All that sort of stuff. So teams find this out the hard way when they join these conferences, that they're playing games now far away from their recruiting hub. So for Texas and Oklahoma, maybe that would be a con. But they're big enough brands that I think recruiting would be just fine. Oklahoma's getting kids from all over now. I think they'd be just fine recruiting-wise. But maybe you put that on a con, on the con list, that playing in the SEC, playing in the Southeast, where you're Texas or Oklahoma, right, could have an effect on recruiting. I think they're big enough brands. Again, they'll be fine. But other than that, the only other con would be that it'd be harder to win on the field. Everything else would be a pro. So Texas and Oklahoma, there's a reason why they're interested in this. They would be a winner. The SEC overall would be a winner. Maybe not the teams. Their road just got tougher. But Greg Sankey and the SEC office and the SEC bank account, right? That would be the win. This would be a huge loss, of course, for the Big 12. In fact, I don't think there would be a Big 12. We played a clip earlier from Paul Feinbaum on Get Up, and the follow-up to that clip we played was Feinbaum saying that he believes if this were to happen, we would just have four power conferences. Instead of having the power five conferences, we'd have just the power four. The Big 12 would go away, and then you'd have to find a home for some of those other schools, Oklahoma State, Kansas, right? The programs that conferences would have an interest in. So those are some of the winners and the losers. Some other losers would be teams maybe of the SEC, right? If you're South Carolina, now your road just got even tougher in the SEC. If you're Texas A&M, you tried to get away, Texas A&M and Missouri. You tried to get away from these teams. Now they're following you to your new home. It's like you move out of the neighborhood to get away from a bad neighbor. You move into a new house. A couple years later, that bad neighbor just happens to move across the street. It's like, are you kidding? We made this big move to get away from this guy. So then the next question becomes why, right? If we were doing like the who, what, where, when, why? Well, the who, we know, Texas, Oklahoma, SEC. The what is potentially moving to that conference. The when is, well, probably 2025 when the contract's up for the Big 12. Then the why. Well, for them, it's money. But the why becomes, well, why did this get out? Or how did this get out? Those would be the whys and the hows in this scenario. How did this get out? I broke it down earlier. I think it came from Texas. I think Texas leaked this because they're the ones that would benefit. Them and Oklahoma would benefit. So maybe it came from Oklahoma, but I think Texas, because it came, maybe it's just a coincidence, but this report came just as Texas A&M was set to have their portion of SEC Media Days yesterday. So Oklahoma wouldn't gain from that timing. They may gain from this report getting out there, but why do it at that time as well? Because this was obviously a placed leak. This wasn't just, oh, I happened to hear somebody on the subway mention this. Somebody reached out, and I don't know who the first reporter was that had this, but somebody reached out and told them and said, hey, you know, put this out there. Or they had already told them, and now they followed up and say, okay, this is the time, put it out there. So I don't think the SEC would do it when they have their own media days already going on. I don't think Oklahoma would do it and match it up with Texas A&M. I think Texas, if we were playing a game of Clue, right, and whatever, Colonel Mustard with the candlestick in the lobby or in the kitchen, I think if we figured it out, if we went through the clues and tried to see who was the culprit, I think it would be Texas. To now turn the screws to make the story about them instead of Texas A&M at Texas A&M's own day. That was supposed to be the day about the Aggies, or at least the afternoon about them, and instead it's all about Texas. And now the SEC media is talking about Texas instead of Texas A&M. A little Machiavellian move from, I believe, the Longhorns. I think they put it out. So then we get to the why. Well, why would they want this out there, Texas and Oklahoma? Because I don't think the SEC does. I don't think the SEC looks good from this report right now. I think it benefits Texas and Oklahoma. Why do they want this out? Well, because of a leverage play. And I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. As we sit here currently today on July 22nd, to me, that's how I interpret this. To me, this is nothing more than that leverage play. I don't think we will get Texas and Oklahoma ever in the SEC. I know what Feinbaum said. I know how Bobby feels. I saw him tweet about it this morning. I may be in the minority. I don't think it happens. I don't think it can afford to happen. I don't think the Big 12 would allow it to happen. I don't think the SEC teams would allow it to happen. I compared it earlier to Morty Seinfeld when he walked into the conference room and they were voting on his impeachment. And he says, you don't have the votes, right? They wanted to impeach him, but they didn't have the votes. So it didn't matter what they wanted to do. Now, in the end, they did end up getting the votes and he does get impeached. But Oklahoma and Texas may want to go to the SEC. The SEC may want to have them, but if you don't have the votes, it doesn't matter. Because the way it works, 11 out of 14 teams in the SEC need to sign off on this. And according to reports, Texas A&M and Missouri, who again made this move to get away from teams like Texas and Oklahoma, according to reports, they're out. They're not interested in having those two teams follow them to the SEC. So there's two no votes. You only need four. Would two of the other 12 teams vote no? I think so. Now, who could those teams be? Well, a few SEC teams have banded together to keep other schools from their state entering. Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky have had this pact that we don't want any other schools from our state to join our conference. That's what Texas A&M is now saying. Texas A&M apparently would not vote to allow Texas and Oklahoma in. Why? Because they don't want Texas in the SEC. That's the advantage they have over Texas, that they're in the SEC. They're in the best conference in college football. They can recruit kids to come play in the SEC instead of the Big 12. They don't want Texas to now come because Texas is the bigger brand and they're in the same state and they'll be stealing the same recruits. So Texas A&M could appeal to those four schools and say, hey, we're with you. We don't want another school from our state to join the conference. So we'll be part of your little group. And moving forward in future years, we'll always vote with you to keep those schools from entering if you help us out here. And so then we would have Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky, Texas A&M banding together. Plus, Missouri has already reportedly said that they're not interested in this idea. Now you're talking about six, almost half of the conference that would vote no, and it doesn't matter what Oklahoma and Texas wants to do. According to SEC bylaws, they wouldn't be able to be allowed in unless they get 11 of 14 votes, and I don't think they'd have the votes. So why come out with this report? Why put this out there for public consumption? I think it's a leverage play. Because the contract is not up till 2025. We have four more years. And as I understand it, Texas and Oklahoma, outside of some lawsuits, can't do anything until that contract is up in 2025. They could try to get out of it in the meantime, but again, now you're talking lawyers, court, that's whole, you know, you're into a contract until 2025. Then at that point, you're like a free agent. You can move around. So as I understand it, and maybe I'm off base, but I don't think anything can happen for 4 years. You can agree in principle, but they wouldn't actually be part of the SEC until at the earliest 2025. So why do you put this out now to build that leverage? For when that contract is up with the Big 12, you get more demands or more of your demands. The Big 12 gives in to what Texas and Oklahoma wants. And they get a bigger portion of the pie, or they get this, or they get that, or whatever they want. And we have no idea behind closed doors what they would prefer. And the question may be, well, why would they want to do that? Or why do they care about a leverage play to get more money? It's the same reason why they would want to go to the SEC. Why would they join the SEC? It's not because it's going to be easier to win, it's because they're going to get more money. This whole thing is always about money, like most things in life. And how could they get more money? By holding the Big 12's feet to the fire here, saying, we're going to leave. And if we leave, you're no longer a conference. You're screwed. And therefore, the Big 12 will say, okay, well, what do you want? What do you want to stay? We'll give it to you. So for me, I look at this, I think it's a leverage play. I don't think Texas and Oklahoma will come to the SEC. I don't think SEC teams want them in their conference. And I think this is just a way to get leverage to get more out of the Big 12 moving forward. If you're an SEC fan, it depends what team you're a fan of. If you're a Gamecock fan, I wouldn't like this idea because now you move further down in the hierarchy. Now you have two teams coming in that are better than you. Yes, even Texas. If I'm an Alabama fan, it makes your path tougher, but maybe you look forward to the increased competition because as long as Nick Saban is there, I'm still taking Alabama over everyone else. But if you're a college football fan that's maybe not a fan of the SEC, this is also bad news. I think it's bad for the sport if you lose the Big 12, if those Big 12 teams have to go off into other conferences, if we just strengthen the best conference already. They're already the best conference. Now we want to give them Oklahoma and Texas. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's healthy. We see it a lot in regular day life, right, where you have like a monopoly or you have a couple of different companies controlling things. It's not good. Right, like right now, there's a handful of companies that essentially rule the world. You have Google and you have Amazon. They have total control of everything. And then they can charge whatever they want and this and that. And you're only strengthening by allowing them to buy out some of these other companies or continuing to give them money. You're only strengthening, right, these companies that are already the most powerful and most successful. And they don't need that help. Right? The SEC doesn't need this help. I don't think it'd be good for the ACC, the Big Ten, certainly not the Big 12, anyone else, to make the already best conference in football that much better by giving them Texas and Oklahoma. So as just a general college football fan, I don't like. I heard this idea. I don't like it. I like how things are. Let's keep them in the Big 12. So the Big 12 has a national title contender. The Big 10 obviously has theirs. Even the ACC with Clemson obviously has theirs. The SEC has at least one. I like that better than mixing more power with power, making the good, or say the great, even better. We'll see what happens. But to me, the way I read it here today on July 22nd, 2021, I think it's just a play for leverage. We'll see what happens moving forward. Coming up, it's Thursday, so you know what that means. It's time for our wrestling wrap-up. And we'll do that when we come back. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, our wrestling wrap-up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Which also means we'll be giving something away. We always, it's like one of those pitches, you know, you got to sit through a presentation or get like a free TV or something back in the day. Or try to avoid signing up for a timeshare. We got a giveaway. We got some River Dogs tickets for their homestand next week. We'll give away coming up with our wrestling wrap-up. Is that Michael Jackson? Who was that?
That is the Jacksons.
The Jackson. What song is that? I've never heard that song.
State of Shock.
Well, that sounded good. I like that song. I don't think I've ever heard that song before.
Yeah, it came out in the mid-80s.
I like that one. Throw that in the memory bank here on a Throwback Thursday. Speaking of which, coming up, I have this note that got sent to me this week that I wrote to myself over 20 years ago. I think I'm going to read it on air. I read it this week, and I thought that's pretty embarrassing. So why not? Let's do it on air. We'll get to that coming up. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service. They're easier than ever before. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. You can track your dry cleaning, see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. Just call or text 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. And the best part, if you mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, you get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service. All right, every Thursday on the show, we spend a few moments to get you caught up on what's going on in the wrestling world. It's time to do it now. It's our weekly wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For Producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? This is one of those weeks where, where do you start?
Oh man.
Well, I'll start off with just mentioning this Sunday, New Japan Pro Wrestling will present a Grand Slam. And also, Kota Ibushi has been diagnosed with aspiration pneumonia, and it's not related to the COVID vaccination that he previously had. He did have some side effects due to an inoculation earlier. And so right now, everything's kind of wait and see with his match against IWGP World Champion Shingo Takagi this Sunday at Grand Slam.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Now, this past weekend, we had WWE Money in the Bank and Impact Slammiversary. Okay. At Money in the Bank, of course, the winners were Nikki Cross. Now it's Nikki Ash or Nikki A-S-H.
Mm.
Almost a superhero.
Oh.
So kind of a throwback to the Hurricane and
right.
Former Mount Pleasant resident Mighty Molly.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay. And of course, Big E was the men's Money in the Bank winner. And now Charlotte Flair won the Raw Women's Championship from Rhea Ripley at Money in the Bank, but Nikki A.S.H., she cashed in
Oh.
the next night on Raw.
Wow.
So she is now the Raw Women's Champion.
Oh, how about that?
Okay. And the other title change, of course, is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic Ended up losing it back to the Usos.
Oh.
Or didn't lose it back to the Usos, but the Usos are once again in the tag team championship fold.
Oh, okay.
All right, and then Impact Slammiversary had a lot of interesting scenarios play out. Okay, your guys, Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Carl Anderson, the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
Once again, Impact Tag Team Champions, winning a four-way match for that title.
That's right.
Okay, and Decay, Havoc, and Rosemary are the new Knockouts Tag Team Champions, defeating Fire and Flava, but Kira Hogan of Fire and Flava has left the company.
Oh.
All right, Deonna Purrazzo defended her Knockouts title. It was supposed to be against a mystery partner and actually turned out to be Thunder Rosa. Here's a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
You're an ECW guy.
Yes.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Teamed up with Rachel Ellering. Yes, the daughter of Precious Paul Ellering, the manager of the Road Warriors.
Wow.
Brian Myers, who was Kurt Hawkins in WWE.
Uh-huh.
His partner in this mixed tag team match turned out to be Missy Hyatt.
Oh.
Haven't heard from her in a while, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Are you interested in being a ring announcer at SummerSlam?
That would be cool. Yeah, I would love to do that.
Go to TikTok.
TikTok?
Yeah, a hashtag WWE announcer contest, and you can try and submit the proper materials to see if you can be the ring announcer at SummerSlam.
Oh, how about that?
And speaking of SummerSlam, it looks like it will be live in select theaters around the country, and that includes some of those here in South Carolina. Just go to WWELiveInTheaters.com.
I like that. Didn't they used to do that back in the day? Wasn't that a thing?
That's kind of like when they did before in the forerunner to pay-per-view. It was closed-circuit television,
right.
They used to do things like that.
Yeah, I like that idea. That sounds pretty cool.
So, yeah, a little throwback there.
Yeah, right up my alley.
Oh, and Lance Archer's manager, Jake the Snake Roberts, just signed for two more years with the company.
Oh, goodness.
So, he's not wrestling anymore. Of course, he's just the manager. But, hey, he's going to be around a couple more years.
Last time I saw him, not too long ago, I'm not talking about in person, like I saw him on TV or whatever, he did not look too good.
Of course, then Chavo Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know of him. Okay, yep. He is the new executive consultant for Andrade El Idolo.
Oh.
So he's coming back into the, at least to more television screens now.
How about that?
Yep. And, of course, speaking of Bullet Club, seems to be making more inroads into the U.S. again, as Chris Bay has apparently joined. He threw up a two-sweet with Jay White during an Impact TV taping earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he found a Bullet Club shirt with his stuff at Slammiversary. Ooh. Yeah, some of the former members that are here in the U.S., of course, AEW Impact champion Kenny Omega, who's also the AAA Mega champion.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was leader of Bullet Club at one point. The Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Carl Anderson. The Young Bucks, who are the AEW Tag Team Champions. Hangman Adam Page. AJ Styles, who was also the leader at one point. Finn Balor, who was one of the founders of Bullet Club.
Ooh.
And friend of the show, Adam Cole.
Yes.
Was a member while he was working for Ring of Honor.
Right, yeah.
So let's say, you're a Good Brothers fan. Adam Cole's a friend of the show.
Those are my guys right there.
Yeah, maybe we need to see if we could be honorary members of Bullet Club.
Yeah, that's right. They would be lucky to have us, let me tell you.
Well, of course, at Money in the Bank, the big news there, the return of John Cena.
Ooh.
And, of course, well, he has some movies coming up, so naturally they're going to put him back in.
Yeah, that's why he's got to go make an appearance.
And guess who else showed back up?
Who?
Goldberg.
This guy. These wrestlers never know when to stay away.
But it looks like he went out and confronted Bobby Lashley, who had just defeated the returning Keith Lee. Lee was out with an injury for quite a while. Okay, and it looks like Goldberg and Lashley might be throwing down at SummerSlam.
That's former Atlanta Falcon Bill Goldberg.
Okay, and then something had happened during, I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but during Money in the Bank, Charlotte Flair kind of did a Stone Cold salute, and the screen went black.
Oh.
Now, there's no word yet on whether this was, done as a reaction to her doing that, or it's just some, technical glitch just happened at that moment.
Yeah.
We don't know. But I don't think Stone Cold would have allowed that, to happen, especially somebody as big as he was.
Mm, interesting.
Now, here are the big ones.
Okay.
Who do you think would be the biggest signing for any wrestling company right now?
I have no idea. The Rock. Triple H. I have no idea. Shawn Michaels. I could keep naming 90s wrestlers.
How about 2000s and 2010s?
I have no idea.
AEW is reportedly in talks with CM Punk.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, that would be a big get, but and there's rumor going around that ink has been put to paper for AEW to grab Daniel Bryan.
Oh.
And sounds like he may be debuting in September during their Grand Slam event at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Oh, wow.
So, well, after all of that, that's it for this weekend. Oh. Between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right. Our wrestling wrap-up. There you go. Maybe I'll go watch SummerSlam at the movie theater.
That'd and get fun. A taste of what it was like when you had to go watch those big events on closed-circuit television.
Yeah. I love old-school things like that, so that's right up my alley. We'll have a viewing party at the theater for SummerSlam. Henry on Twitter said he's a native Charlestonian and has lived in the area his whole life, one of the best places to live in the world. And he has been to all 50 states and many countries. Good for you. He does concur, though, that natives like him are harder and harder to find these days. South Carolina has become Florida, unfortunately, is what Henry says. Yeah, just keep all the craziness in Florida. It's a great. I've been here almost 3 years, and I love it here. And this is a fantastic. You understand why so many people come to South Carolina's become the new thing. Like Henry said, Florida. It is true. Like I have relatives now that are moving to South Carolina. It was always you'd want to retire to Florida. Arizona became one of the more popular places lately, and now South Carolina seems to be another one that, since I have moved here, I've had separate aunts and uncles that are getting their quote-unquote, like, you know, their retirement homes here in South Carolina. And I thought, oh, what? That's interesting. I figured you want to go down to Florida. But it's a great place to be. So I understand why people are always fleeing here to this state.
Well, several years ago, I was talking with the lead singer of Venrez after they had just done their set opening for Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking and stuff, and he was the only member of the band from Los Angeles.
Oh.
You know, and the band is based in L.A., and he said, yeah, I'm the only one actually from there. And I said, I know what it's like because I'm one of these people who are actually from here, yeah. But most people are from somewhere else.
That's right. That's the number one thing I hear about the show when I talk to people. They say, hey, appreciate that you talk about a little bit of anything. And then, oh, well, you know, why do I appreciate it? Because I'm a whatever, right? I'm a Packers fan from Wisconsin originally, and then I walk away from that person. But that's what I always hear from people.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Charleston's actually more populated than Green Bay.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the stadium, it can fit more people than the area itself.
And there was a guy trying to buy the Carolina Panthers here. Are we getting an idea?
Interesting. Hey, we always, like I said, we always tie a giveaway to our wrestling wrap-ups. If we try to bribe you to listen to the wrestling talk. So I got two tickets here for the Charleston Riverdogs when they come back home after the weekend. I won't be here tomorrow, so I want to give these tickets away now because you have to come pick them up here at the radio station. This is for Tuesday night. All right, so after the weekend, this upcoming Tuesday, 7:05 first pitch, Joe Riley Park. I got two tickets for the Riverdogs Tuesday night. Just be the third caller now, and we'll give them to you. You can come pick them up before Tuesday's game. 843-721-9500. 843-721-9500. Third caller now, I'll give you a pair of tickets to the River Dogs game on Tuesday. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, which could be the next team to end a drought in the sports world? Get to that here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Congratulations to our winner, Scott, from downtown Charleston. Winning a pair of tickets to the River Dogs game on Tuesday. He said he'll even bike his way over there. Ride the bike over to the games. That's pretty sweet. Okay, go. Take your bike over to see a couple of, you know, some go see some good baseball at Joe Riley Park. So congratulations to Scott winning a pair of tickets to the game on Tuesday as the River Dogs head back home next week. You ever have a problem around the house and think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialists can. They know how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer a warranted solution and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. Check them out online, cantycanfixit.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Especially this time of year. You're running around without the shoes on. You got to protect your toes. So if you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck, The Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of those little toes. Contact them for a free estimate today. The Canty Foundation Specialists. Online at CantyCanFixIt.com or call them 843-484-3625. So, I know Greeny was talking about this on his show yesterday and today. They also did this on Get Up, so I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's already been discussed. Anything I say will probably feel like I'm, you know, copying the conversation. But after the Bucks won the NBA Finals, it was another drought that came to an end in the sports world. In the last 5 years alone, the Cleveland Cavaliers won their first title. The Cubs ended a 108-year drought. The Astros won their first title. The Eagles ended a 57-year drought. The Capitals won their first title. The Blues won their first title. The Raptors won their first title. The Nationals won their first title. The Chiefs ended a 50-year drought. And the Bucks just ended a 50-year drought. Those were all in the last 5 years alone. So the question that Greeny brought up was, of course, who's next? Who will be the next one to end that drought? They talked about this on Get Up earlier, and Tim Hasselbeck said the Cleveland Browns. One answer was for the Buffalo Bills, who have never won a Super Bowl, much like the Browns. Another answer, they focused only on the NFL. Another answer was the Chargers as well with Justin Herbert. I was very disappointed as a Minnesota Vikings fan to not see the Vikings get any love. I am waiting for the day in which the Vikings end their drought and finally win a Super Bowl. But if I had a pick specifically in the NFL, the team with the best chance to end their drought, I do think it would be the Buffalo Bills. I think that's the safe pick. They were one of the final four teams a year ago. Josh Allen took that big step forward. You hope he takes another step this year. They have one of the more talented teams with what they have defensively, and then Stephon Diggs on offense and the way Josh Allen played last year. You hope to get a little more from the running game. I think Sean McDermott's a really good coach. That division is certainly there for the taking with Buffalo. I think New England will be better this year, but still not a Super Bowl team. The Dolphins are probably won't be a playoff team. The Jets are lousy. So I think the Bills are a popular pick. Now, the Bills just have that reputation. Like we talked earlier this week about Georgia and some of these other teams, that they always come up short. They find a way to lose. That may be what keeps Buffalo from accomplishing it. But the Chiefs, while they're the favorite in the AFC, the chances of a team going back-to-back to the Super Bowl, history tells us, small odds that it actually occurs, even if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. So maybe the Bills are a team this year that could reach the Super Bowl. But I think the Bills would be the safe pick. Justin Herbert, with the rookie season he had over the course of his career, that would also be a safe pick to think that at some point he'll win a Super Bowl for the Chargers. Maybe do it before Josh Allen. But I wouldn't say the Browns with Baker Mayfield because I don't think Baker Mayfield is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Much like Kirk Cousins probably isn't a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, which is why the Vikings were left off of most people's list. Which team in the NFL could end that drought next? I think I would say the Buffalo Bills. Maybe when we come back on the air Monday, because I won't be here tomorrow, maybe we'll look at it from a college football standpoint, because the Georgia, we talked about this earlier in the week without even knowing it, as a team that could end their drought and finally win a championship. Who are some others that could be the next team to end a drought at the college football level? Greeny was focusing on the NFL. Maybe next week we'll look at college football on the show on Monday. We'll see. I won't be here tomorrow, so when we come back, we'll wrap up your week. And let me see if I can squeeze this in today. I have this letter I wrote to myself over 20 years ago. What better way to end the week than by reminiscing, looking back at what I had to say 20 years ago? We'll do that next, wrap up your Thursday. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
What a funky finish to your Thursday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always find the show on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast, or the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. And you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online, charlestonsportsradio.com, through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download that app and listen to the show from anywhere in the world. Podcasts also available through our app. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 7 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday afternoon. I will not be here tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday, and we'll recap anything from over the weekend when I return on Monday. Now, I got this week. It's a throwback Thursday. I figure, what better way to end the week than this letter I wrote over 20 years ago? And I got this from my godfather. Yes, it was my birthday yesterday, so he sent this along with the birthday card. He dug this up. This was before my 10th birthday. I wrote this over 20 years ago. It's called Summer by Luke Morrow. Here's what I wrote all the way back then. 20 out of 30 people say that they like summer better than all other seasons. See, I was always into data and analytics. How about that stat? As I wrote, I do because of my birthday, vacations, and sports. I love summer mostly because of the sports. I love basketball. I play it almost every day. I usually have one-on-one tournaments. My brothers also play AAU, so I watch their games. I also go to Riley Camp, which is run by my father's high school coach, Joe Riley Sr., and his two sons, Joe Jr. and Luke. They all know me, so it's fun when I go. I also play baseball. Sometimes I have friends over to play baseball. It's really fun. I also go down to Highcrest, a school, and play football with my brother and his friends. And sometimes I play soccer. Very detailed. My birthday is also in the summer. My birthday is July 21st. That was yesterday. This year I am turning 10. I love opening the presents, of course. And I also love when my godfather comes from New York. His name is blank. Every year I have a pool party and do something else. Okay. Well, what that something else is, I don't know. I didn't want to specify. I have a pool party and do something else. Whatever that was, 9-year-old Luke did not want to share. Last year we went to the movies. I also like it because my family comes over. And then I go on to list all of my relatives. Right? I have a cousin, Shane, who's 5, Lauren, who's 16. I go on and on for the rest of this paragraph. It's like 3 sentences long, just listing all my cousins and their age, like anybody would care. Next paragraph. A lot of times in the summer, we go to Florida. We go to the beach. At the beach, I go surfing and go boogie boarding and build things in the sand. We dig big holes and throw each other in and have wrestling matches. My favorite is when we play football in the water because we get to tackle people in the water. We also play football in the sand. I get sand in my mouth, but I don't care. We also go to theme parks. Last year, we bought Dreamcast and over 30 games to the hotel. We played for so long, everybody on my brother's AAU team got to play with me. It was really fun. Always loved video games. In conclusion, this is what I said at the end. Well, I know that was boring, so if you fell asleep, my story is about my favorite season, which is summer. Always so self-deprecating, even at a young age. The reasons are my birthday, vacations, and because of sports. Well, those are the reasons why. The end. And I can tell you what, over 20 years later, nothing's really changed. I still like the summer because, I guess, my birthday, trips, and sports. And I'll be going on a trip this week, and I won't be with you tomorrow, but I'll be back on the air Monday. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again Monday at noon. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.